Let's go ahead and get on with it. Kids really do fuck up everything, man. I mean, no offense to the parents out there, or anything, but you know, if there's a while where you be like, yeah, you know, goddamn, I can't do nothing because these kids around here. I love them, but shit, they crapping my stuff. I mean, for the average parent out there, you think like, all right, I don't need to be out in them streets partying anyway. You know, I'm too old to be doing all this other shit anyway. It's time for me to grow up and be a responsible adult, be a responsible parent. But that's a different thing with superheroes. You would think after saving the world numerous times, that would instill some good values in your children. Nah, just like the preacher's kid.
Just like trust fund babies.
Just like trust fund babies. You know, you did all this good stuff. You're responsible. You brought them up to be right, and they out there fucking up. It never fails. Preacher's kid out there fucking everything. Out there doing all kind of drugs and alcohol. You know, you probably... You went to college, you got a PhD, your kid's stupid as hell. Dumb as fuck.
You made all that money, so why do I have to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, so you know what? You a star athlete. Your son is out there reading comic books and shit.
why did you gesture to me? There was a gesture and then there was a turn of the camera.
Oh man, I meant to put it on the switch. I meant to put it on this right here.
I mean, that got a little too real.
Oh no, man, why'd I do that? I meant to put it on here. Uh-huh. But mostly superheroes, if they're doing what they're supposed to do as superheroes, they're being responsible. They try to teach their kids to value life, even for the villains out there. You know, Superman ain't gonna tell his kid, you know, Lex Luthor killed that motherfucker. I always hated him. You know, I can never do it, but you can. You know, Superman's not gonna say that. Superman's gonna say, hey, look, that's a human life. Yeah. And I don't want you to cross over to being what they are.
Because once you start doing that, it never stops.
It never stops. And the kids say, well, that's what you old motherfuckers do. Value life? Man, that's that old shit. We don't. Nah, man, this new generation, we kill. We put that shit on TikTok. we get likes for that. And that's the predicament with the union, led by the utopian and his wife. They're like, man, how do we teach these kids something before they go bad and then we got to whoop their asses again? That's the situation we have here in Jupiter's Legacy. You know, you got that old code out there. Hey, man, you know, to make the world a better place, we cannot become what they are.
Right. We don't stoop that low.
We don't stoop that low.
They go low, we go high.
Yeah. And the new generation said, you know what? They go low, we stop giving a fuck. Hey, we are efficient. You know, one and done. Get rid of that. Hey, you know what? Punisher. That's
that guy's got some ideas.
Man, how come y'all never like that guy? Y'all always talk shit about him. Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for Jupiter's Legacy. That's the latest superhero series on Netflix. Hey, people talking about superhero fatigue out there. Is this something that is doing something cool and new or doing something great that make people say, you know what, done it again. Don't you ever say superheroes get old. This will be the one that makes people say, boy.
All right, that's enough.
Ooh, boy, I'm so tired. Boy, that fatigue set in. Let's go and take a look and we'll be back with our review.
Don't you remember the island? And what we had to do? To earn these powers.
90 years. 90 years, and what do we have to show for it?
We've made a difference, Shell.
What was Dad like when he was younger?
Nothing ever rattled him faster.
The man I knew was never at home when I was a kid.
Busy saving the world.
Brandon, Chloe, everything you do is a reflection on this family. You have to be the ideal.
No one can live up to the ideal. Not even Dad.
Not even close to being ready.
I'm doing everything I can to keep this family from falling apart.
Well, it's not working.
It used to be that you protect your country. They call you a hero.
The world is changing. So I guess we're gonna have to change with it.
I don't know whether I can do this anymore. You do the right thing, somebody dies. You do the wrong thing, somebody dies.
So what would you do if you were the one calling the shots?
People, let's do a little something. Before we start, because I want to do this before we start, let's go ahead and get those channel points ready. And let's see what you guys think about. Well, you seem in agreement of this.
Yeah, let's use them more often.
Yeah, people. Let's go ahead and use these channel points up here. And let's see what you guys think about or what you predict our opinions are going to be on this right here. Let me go ahead and bring them up. Is there a poll going on? Oh, there is a current poll.
They're ahead of you.
They are way ahead of me. Look at this. Nice. What rating?
Oh, there you go.
What rating would you give Jupiter's Legacy? Oh, I want to do what rating we would give. So I guess it's too late for that. But you guys are using them.
Forget what we think.
Yeah, to hell with what we think. Yeah. Well, it looks like I can't do that right now. But at least you're using your channel points and something. Next time we'll use it to see what we think about it. But this is based on, as you saw in the trailer right there, if you paid attention, or you might have missed it if you can't read, because it only came up in words right there. But this is from Mark Millar. It's based on his comic here, the same name, Jupiter's Legacy. He's a guy, as you saw, he gave us things that you might recognize, such as Kick-Ass and
The Kingsman.
And as for this right here, let me just say, man, Netflix, boy, you did it. You did it. I don't think anyone could do this, but you did it. You made me goddamn tired of superheroes, man. I didn't think I'd ever say those words, but Netflix, you did the unthinkable with this right here. Now, I'm not going in trying to push anybody's opinion. I don't know what everybody feels about this. I was reading in the chat that some of you guys really liked it, so please don't think that I'm trying to go against anybody's opinion of who enjoyed this right here. I'm just going to tell you, with me, as far as Jupiter's Legacy goes, they made me tired of superheroes. Party's over. Take your capes, take them skin tight suits, take your powers, and get the fuck out of my house right now. You don't have to go home, but you can't fly around here. I'm tired of it, man. Now, to be fair, it could be only because of this right here. I'm not going to be tired of the next superhero thing that comes out. I'm not going to hold this against it. It could only be because I've just been watching superhero stuff consistently.
There's been a lot of it.
For the last, 10 months or something? It's been a while.
Well, March was full, and then April was slightly less full.
Yeah.
So now that we're in May.
Yeah,
my whole thing is I feel like we've been watching a lot of great superhero content for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you're not, putting the best foot forward or putting a lot of effort, and I'm looking at all the other, the ones that you're your rivals, they're kind of doing it better than you are. I'm like, well, why should I be watching you?
People, everything, you're right. No, you hit it right there. I just want to say, because I'm can't wait to hear what you have to say, because I am, right now I'm in full agreement of those words you just said. Mm-hmm. People, as far as myself goes, I believe, and it might not matter to some people, but I think that, in my humble opinion, that everything that you've seen here was done much better in all those other shows that we've been watching these past few months. They've been done much better there in those shows. And some of this, like I said, it might not even be the fault of this show right here. It could be just bad timing. A large part of this show right here is based on daddy issues. A large part of this is superhero daddy issues. Yeah. But just 1 week ago, we saw the superhero show with the ultimate daddy issues.
Slow down. Land. I said land. Stop.
And let me just tell you, the kid in that show had way bigger problems than the whiny motherfuckers in this show right here. Way bigger problems. So when you come up here talking about, man, daddy just didn't love me, bullshit. You know what? Daddy beat your ass. Daddy, you know, dad. Well, I ain't gonna do no spoilers, but your daddy was. Tell you what, your daddy was. Your daddy was fucking Cosby.
Right, right.
Again, maybe, well, maybe.
Nah, yeah, yeah. Dr. Huxtable.
Okay, Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah, there you go.
Old school
fictional
Cosby.
Fictional Cosby.
Yeah.
Fictional Cosby.
Well, Ward Cleaver.
Yeah. Not racist Cosby.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. No, this dude is Cosby right here.
Yeah.
So unless your show is doing something amazing, unless your show is doing something that's fairly new, unless your show is just doing a better job at telling their narrative, you can't fuck with this right here.
Right.
I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. But you about to say something, please.
No, it is a timing thing, because had this come out before this whole wave of stuff, could have easily been like, wow, they're finally paying attention and getting it right. But these things have come out that have been not just better done, but also a lot more poignant or really had powerful statements to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I'll say it like this. If you know, this is like an opening act being the headliner. You can't do that shit. If this had come out maybe before a lot of things, yeah, even like a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe then if this had come out like back
before
then.
Before The Boys.
Yeah, before The Boys.
Yeah.
Because between The Boys, the Disney shows, and now Invincible, you know, this thing, these can't do it.
Watchmen?
Watchmen.
Especially because,
People, you know, but that's not what happened here. Listen, Justin Bieber is a great musician. He's cool, but if he's coming on after Prince had played, he's getting booed. Okay, well, fuck, how great he is. If anybody's going on after Prince, that's a hard act to follow.
Sure.
So this is that situation right here, man.
Although the Rolling Stones went on after Prince and he got booed.
Prince got booed?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been before Prince was Prince.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm talking about Prince. Before Prince was a sexy motherfucker, and, you know, in 1999, all that kind of shit. Yeah, man. You know what I mean. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to hate on this right here, because I think that's too bad that I have this opinion, because This is a great idea, and it's still an idea. Had it been done, I believe, a different way, it still could have upheld continuing these great superhero shows even after everything we've just seen. Because what you have here basically is you got the Justice League, or Justice League type team, you know, the Union, and they have a code: don't kill. Unless you're in Zack Snyder's Justice League, and apparently you can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's required. Yeah. That's required on the resume. Do you kill?
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the team.
You're in.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. But here, you know, they don't go down to the, they don't stoop the hero's level. The kids, however, they're in a different, more dangerous time. You know, and then things are not as black and white anymore. And they feel that these crazier times call for more deadly measures.
Yeah, because before, the villains were just robbing banks and then surrendering. And they're like, well, now they're killing us. So why are we still trying to save them?
They have manifestos and, you know, ideas. Yeah.
So what went wrong for me in that area, man? Because I think that was a great thing to have right there. Because I think a lot of people are looking at this right now. Some people like me, they're like, Batman, you better kill the Joker, man. You know, everybody's tired of this shit. Yeah, you know, hey, sure, you'll go crazy afterwards, but let's get this motherfucker on the street. You know, whatever. You've had go to therapy. You got enough money. What went wrong right here? So the character of the Utopian, played by Josh Duhamel, his kids are terrible characters. Brandon and Chloe, or as I call them, Angsty and Mopey, up in here. Both got their own versions of, Dad, you were never there for me. Shut the fuck. You know, I can't decide which one is. Fuck you. Seriously. First episode, I couldn't stand them, man. I can't decide which one is worse. You know, Chloe got on my nerves immediately. Mm. And Chloe, you know, because Chloe, who's a successful model And she don't want that superhero life. That's actually a good storyline right there. That's a good take. I don't want this no more. But she has to take that level of, Daddy, I was never good for you. We were never good for you, Daddy. You know, you were never there for us. So she's always lashing out with drugs and alcohol to the point where she's just ruining her own life, ruining her own modeling career.
We're not done yet. We still have the hero pose.
The what?
Corporate wants it. It plays into the whole nostalgia bullshit.
Screw that.
You know, if you can't be a real superhero, the least you can do is pretend for 5 minutes. It'll help you earn enough to shove up your nose.
She's like, bitch, you know, I still got powers, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be saying that.
Yeah, I got powers and I'm coked up right now. You might want to shut the fuck up. Because you already know people who are regular people on cocaine, they feel invincible.
Corporate wants it.
See? Was that so bad?
Shit, fuck!
I hope they snapped the picture.
I was about to say,
yeah, I know.
That camera man, like, tell him you fucking got that.
Got it.
You didn't? I had a car being thrown in my head. So I was ducking just like you. You're like, damn, I should want that Lamborghini too. Yeah, man. You know, and plus, she's always one of those girls. She's one of those girls who's always talking about, because she's such a coke fiend. She's all, one of the girls always talking about, see, Daddy, what you making me do? See, Daddy, that shit. Shut the fuck up and go find a fucking pole to dance on or some shit. You might want to hear that. She got on my nerves with that. She's such a cokehead. Like, trying to blame her daddy, but she's such a cokehead, she just finds strange substances on the street. And the first thing she does is think like, oh, well, this is like a go up my nose. Right, right.
All right, I got a credit card. Let's see what happens if I match this.
Yeah. Oh.
That's glass. Is it? Yeah.
Well, shit. It's a good thing I got super nostrils. Right. Shit. Anyway, how y'all feeling about this chick?
No, annoying. Well, the thing is that I thought was so lazy, because I knew, okay, this is what we're in for. Like, the opening of the show, when they had, you know, Josh Duhamel come in there with great power, with great... Are you going to do that whole speech?
And then he says... Spider-Man speech.
I'm like, okay, well, this just feels kind of lazy, unless you're like, oh, we're trying to have fun with it. But then they had the whole setup where I was like, Emilia, like, the daughter, she's a little psychopath. Like, how she's acting, everything's like, okay, she's gonna be the troubled one. And they even... everything that they did just felt like a half measure. It kind of felt lazy. Like, even when it's like, hey, kids, even though you just terrified that one youngster and he's traumatized for life, let's go for ice cream. But then he hears something, and it's like, if he only got him that ice cream, then everything would be okay. It's just like, I don't know. That all felt very lazy. And just, it felt like, okay, this is the obvious situation now that we're going to be in. You're going to just have these two kids that you're just going to be annoyed by for the entire show, at least the episodes that I watched.
Yeah. Mark, how you feel about these kids?
Everything you say, they're whiny and annoying, and that's just how they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
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 Not much else to them.
Yeah.
How many episodes you see?
3.
Yeah, okay.
I saw 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did not like
them at
all.
I know. That's the thing. This first season, these 8 episodes, they only cover issues 1, 2, and 4
wow.
of this series.
Jesus.
So there's some major character arcs that are coming up. I mean, God bless them that they feel confident they're going to get these other seasons to do all this.
Yeah.
But for me, knowing it, I was like, all right, these are playing out like they're supposed to. As a matter of fact, they've humanized the characters compared to how they are in the comics.
Damn.
Well, I mean, listen.
Because it is where the children of the superheroes, the iconic superheroes, all of them are just lazy club kids. And it's not so much a, you got to stick to the code. It's a, man, all the cool villains are dead already. We ain't got shit to do but just get fucked up all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a way to write that to where I don't have to be so annoyed by them, but they didn't seem to have anything else to them like when these characters are like this, like if you have father issues, you got daddy issues, whatever, at least make me feel like there's something there that you are justified for that, for make me like you in some kind of way.
Oh, sure.
Show me some other part of you. My problem with them is that they weren't anything else but.
Right.
There was, I mean, I think for writing characters, you should, even when they're annoying, you should have me be annoyed by them, but give me some understanding as to why they are.
Right.
I didn't understand why they are. No. It's just like they're just written as is.
A character who whines about, you know, ex-parent, you were never there for me, it only works when you see that parent and they're a fucking deadbeat. Yeah. But when you see parents that really do care, and if the only reason your dad is not there is because he's saving the world, but he's trying to be there when he's there,
yeah,
you're like, well, shut the fuck up. A lot of people don't even have this. But I can say, you know, it's not translating to you guys, but in the comics, that was actually sort of the point.
That's intended. Okay.
Well, to that I would say, I haven't read the comic, but if that's the point, I would probably dare say that if you got that from the comic, they were probably written better. You know, I mean, because I don't know. Like I said, I only have this to go by.
You're right.
At it, and I don't know what else to do. You know,
I understand. That's why I'm not going like, no, man, you're wrong.
No, I don't get that.
I'm just saying, yeah. I wasn't as annoyed by it because I know, like, the way it's written in the comics, these kids were much, much worse. And his son is not even trying to be a superhero like him. Well, he's actually worse than her.
I would say that it's threadbare. I hate you, daddy, you were never there for me, kind of stuff. I can understand if it got deeper, if there was more, but there was, to give an example, and it's nothing against these actors, because I don't have anything against them. I think they're fine. I don't think the material's very good. Elena Camporis or whatever, Andrew Horton, they're the actors that play Brandon and Chloe, but like with Brandon and his issues there, because like I said, I'm trying to figure out which one annoyed me the most. You know, Chloe, I can't fucking stand that character. It's just a harpy. But at least she gives me something to feel. I feel nothing for this character. They gave this character, to me, watching this,
they don't give him a lot to do.
Yeah, he's just boring.
He disappears for long periods.
Poor Brandon over here, he's the paragon. He wants to please daddy so much, but he sucks.
He really does. He's not very good at being a superhero.
And I think that that's interesting. And when I saw it at the beginning, I was like, all right. Because poor Brandon as a paragon, like, you know, they start the show. Because daddy always got to come in and save him. Because they start the show with him getting his ass beat.
Wow. You must be lost or something. Because you're way out of your league here, champ.
Hey.
Look, paragon.
See, like, I was like, man, you just go on somewhere, you know. Can you call your dad? Because this ain't going to be good for you. When he couldn't even think of a comeback. Like, how you going to beat ass?
Hey.
Like, superheroes always work on their witty retort. And, you know, Peter Parker, before he goes out, he's always practicing his material from the mirror.
Shit talking all the time.
Yeah, shit talking. But hey, nah, it's done, man.
Right. Trust me on this one, kid. Just fly away. Last thing you need is to be trending on social media after I whoop your ass. Not a good look. Oh, and what would daddy think?
Do my dad all this!
Step out.
Whenever you see security guard doing their mind his own business.
Something's coming through a window.
So obvious.
It's been happening in every superhero show that we've seen. You motherfuckers can't have a break.
What the fuck?
Yes, sir. ain't got to tell me twice.
Yes.
Come on. You're not the Utopian or Brainwave. You're not even your mom. So stay down. Or not.
I got it. I got it.
Oh,
I had it under control.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, sure you did, son. Sure you did. But you know they're gonna have a talk later. You know, that son, you're not made for this superhero shit. This is not for you.
Just has that sneer on his face. Yeah,
he's looking at his son right now, talking about, you ever thought about trade school? You know, I mean, you're good.
Engineering. Great degree.
Get a degree in 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you ever thought about being a carpenter or a mechanic? You're good with your hands.
Cosmetology.
Yeah.
You can be a hairdresser.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're great with your hands, except when it's punching people.
You say be a hairdresser? Good, because he can get him out of that Party City wig. Yeah.
I was about to say, he spends the rest of this movie. He never recovers from this shit. He remains in his feelings for the rest of this series. He never gets out of emo mode. Yeah. Well, every time they open up with him, his eyes are down the floor and always got hair in his eyes. You were there and there for me. He's like, man, you know what? Maybe you fucking cut your hair. You could see something. You could stop getting your ass beat.
Well, I mean, to be fair, his dad is always like, I knew you're going to fuck up. Man, you were just not doing this. Hey, not even like, that's okay, son. It's like, who am I going to leave the business to? God damn it.
You just, Dad, you never look. Fuck. Dad,
you might as well be Fred Sanford, you big dummy. get in the truck.
God damn it. Man, again, would not mind that. I think that's interesting where you have a son who just cannot live up to his super father. That's great. But where have we seen that? One, we saw that in Invincible. Now, Invincible had material to pull from before it got there, but so did apparently this. And if you want to talk about another thing that's on Netflix, something with huge daddy issues also that they did, and this is what I'm talking about. All these people, they were complaining about this guy was never there for us. You're always more worried about your experiments or your projects. And these kids did it right because they all had depth to them. That's what I'm talking about. If you're just one note and you don't have any other thing going on except an expression or always being angsty, then it's not going to be that great. But Umbrella Academy, they had a lot of, you know, all these people had issues with their father.
Well, and the thing about the Umbrella Academy, like where Jupiter's Legacy is fairly straightforward. Like you say, it's not a lot to it. Umbrella Academy had so much going on with each member, and yet it all came together as something.
Yeah.
It just feels like this show, they like just to cover our bases, to set up the daddy issues, is just in that first 5-minute opening. Mm. It's like, see, he's not around, you didn't take him for ice cream, that was it. And then it's like, now you can fill in the gaps. It's like, I think what was required, at least, again, maybe they cover that in some of the episodes, but like to actually show where he was being neglectful. And not just being busy being a hero. If they if they don't have that, then
they talk to it, but they don't show it.
Yeah, show, don't tell.
yeah, because that they never. That's another thing. It's not a lot of interaction. The only interaction is, especially with like Chloe. I've come home to just be a bitch. You know,
drunk
and high, and Dad don't say nothing. Dad is like, yeah, you know, I saw. Maybe you could have put on a little more clothes in that. Fuck, Dad, Jesus. Fuck
everything I do. Everything I do. About.
You never love me for who I am, Dad. I was like, oh, here we go again. Yeah. This bullshit. You know, I need more writing behind this. Give me something more other than, hey, your clothes are too tight. Give me something more to reveal why they have this strained relationship. Now, maybe in season two, I'll be willing to give that a chance, but I don't see that here. I'll tell you what's unfortunate with the kids. For me, putting a damper on this show is that they do a lot of interesting things with the adults, I thought. And this is where I think you probably, and I know you didn't have time, I think you probably would benefit from watching some other episodes.
Right.
Because they really do some more interesting things with the adult. But hey, listen, when they sit on the adults a little bit more, when the grown folks talking, there's a lot more compelling stuff that happens with that. You know, it's not just a CW drama anymore, which is what it felt like with these kids. You know, you see the benefits of this being a series where they get to flesh out these characters more as far as the adults go. Because for one, the cool thing about seeing a series is that you get to spend more time with the adults as regular people are being more human. You know, you don't always have to see the superhero side of it. Like I liked it with Josh Duhamel and Leslie Bibb as his wife. I forgot her superhero name.
Lady Liberty.
You know, there's moments where they're just at home drinking wine, cooking dinner, discussing the kids. You know, Uncle Beardy, whatever. All I like the way they all got like square dicks down there. But they, you know, they coming. He's coming by for a visit. I tell you, I liked his interaction with the kids more, the uncle. Mm-hmm. But even then, that was like very limited. But I like those things right there, man. I like the actors who are doing that. You know, it's also with them. They go do some flashbacks. And when they do the flashbacks in here, it becomes like a really beautiful period piece. Mm-hmm. It's with the onset of the Great Depression. And they, you know, and of course, at that moment, this is before they get their powers. And you really get to see this show that doesn't even feel like a superhero show sometimes. You know, it's them trying to, it's a drama about them dealing with the Great Depression as wealthy businessmen. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool to see that. I think Josh Duhamel does a great job as playing. His name is Stephen Sampson, I believe, but he's the
Sheldon Sampson.
Sheldon Sampson.
Shelly.
Yeah. Hey, Shelly boy. You're the bee's knees. But he's the utopian. And I like, you know, the Superman of that world. And I think Josh Duhamel does a great job at playing the younger version of himself and also playing like the old, tired of these kids, tired of like grizzled version of himself. His voice has even changed a little bit. He's great. Leslie Bibb, who's the guy that plays
the uncle?
Is that Uncle Ben Walter? Daniels?
I don't know.
Uncle Walter. I think it's Ben Daniels. He's also great. I like him as the uncle. Even though and we said this before, he looks just like the Dos Equis guy.
Oh, wow. Just went naturally white.
Yeah. I thought that was his power, drinking beer and going out having adventures and shit.
Is that actor Irish, by the way?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I wanted to ask because it felt like his accent was constantly coming out to me.
Yeah, it seemed like some kind of accent was slipping in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to hold it against. I just noticed that, especially in the period piece scenes.
Yeah, I was like, you know, the makeup. I kind of like the makeup in this. You can tell it's makeup.
It's funny because at first I didn't like it, but the more it went on, I was like, well, this is actually kind of good.
You're just used to watching it at that point. I had an issue with the makeup. It felt like they had, like, just pancake stuff. And, like, there was some of it that was, like, on one side of his face and it looked really crusty. The other side was just smooth. And that's, like, a good shot. I mean, that's what they put out for press and everything. Yeah, I felt a lot of the makeup. Honestly, overall, this show just feels like it had a little bit more of a budget than the CW show. Because when we do see the superhero shenanigans happen, I guess in, like, the first episode and the second episode, I'm like, I don't like any of this. This doesn't look well choreographed. They're all on wires.
Especially that guy they're fighting.
Black Star,
who you know looks so much like Darkseid.
Yep.
So it's hard to not make the comparison to, you know, Justice League, mm-hmm. and you can really see the difference in the money that's spent on both those things.
I mean,
with Black Star, it's very obviously makeup with no enhancement. I mean, like a mask with no enhancement.
I mean, you see his fingers when he's moving around, like he's trying to push all these buttons, and they just don't really work all that well. I mean, but I'm kind of comparing it to more like The Boys' budget. Like, even when they have those action scenes, those that feels like on a whole nother level.
Sure.
Where this feels like, yeah, you're not The Boys, but you're slightly better than something like CW.
Yeah.
I just noticed that. They have these grand ideas. They want to have these grand fights, but they just don't have the budget to match that idea.
Right. Yeah. Jeez, I want to look in the mirror. When I like, use that as an example. Just had a picture up there the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, fuck it. Just make them look like that. You know, I didn't have a problem with the... I'll tell you why I didn't have a problem with the makeup. Because the makeup looked decent on everybody. And I ain't saying, like, there ain't no racist nothing. I ain't saying because of the black dude. But I will say... the character Mike Wade or the Flair, they made his makeup look bad. First of all, they did that brother wrong. Everybody got to be like old superhero badasses, and they put that nigga in a wheelchair.
He's Mantis, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, put him in a wheelchair. They cooked that side. They cooked half of his face, mm-hmm. and then they put that Tyler Perry wig on.
Everyone has bad wigs in this.
Not as bad as that one right there, though. Bad. And I just like, God damn, boy, y'all didn't have to do. Put him. They made him the smart dude. Smart dude in a wheelchair. Put them glasses on him.
Always the guy in the chair.
Always the guy in the chair. They put them glasses on. I got to tell you, and his makeup worked the worst.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
you don't see it there.
Yeah. But. He looked at some girl and said, hey, young lady. I'm like, you ain't much older than she is. Just because you got cotton balls in your hair right now. Because they don't look, I mean, maybe, you know, black don't crack. I don't know. But I was like, man, y'all didn't even put no effort into this dude right here.
But they're aging slower. I mean, they do explain that, right?
Yeah, because like 90 years since the thing happened.
So, their hair is going white, but the rest of their skin is like, yeah, you're still kind of smooth. Inconsistent.
And like I said, I like the story with the adults. I think for me, where that goes off the rails is I didn't like all this stuff. Let me see here. I just didn't like all the stuff. They're looking for Skull Island. You know, they're going
all the supernatural mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, you know, and because they got to go to this island to find what they're looking for. And I just, and the adults are doing that. And the reason why I don't like that, because they think they, you know, it's an origin story about how they got their powers. Yeah. And it's just stretched out way too much for me. Mm. You know, I didn't like the whole, there's one character getting visions of a dead dad, and that could have been pulled back. There's constant flashbacks. Up, and they do all this up until the last episode. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, man, you know what? And they start whining more than the kids. They start, like, yelling at each other. Well, Daddy, yo, he loved you more than me. And I'm like, man, y'all, look.
It goes way back.
Yeah, it goes way back. First of all, this was, like, goddamn 90 years ago. And y'all, even back then when y'all were doing it, I'm like, man, y'all some grown-ass people. Stop. And I actually understood why they did it, so that didn't bother me that much. It's played into the story. But for me, going back and forth throws the pacing off. You know, I think that, you know, especially when you see what it led up to, it's like, wow, that's it. And maybe that'll be more explained because you read the comics. It'll probably be more explained later.
Right. They actually sort of over-explain it here rather than they do in the comics. They leave a lot of it up to mystery and you just kind of fill in. So that makes me wonder if... Because I thought that was abrupt as well. And I was like, well, I wonder if in the second season they're going to go back to this and explain, you know, this.
Yeah.
Because we jumped from D to M. And I was like, there's something. You don't just go like, well, once we're in here, of course this happens. Like, no. It'd be good to, like, you know, fill some of that in. I don't need everything spoon-fed to me. But now that you brought it up. Let's make this work.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot that they do. Like they're looking for, you know, like I said, looking for this mystery. They're chasing windmills and circles and shit, and King Kong and shit, you know. And it's like, I don't, you know, I'm just looking. I'm like, man, this is okay. So to make this more narratively tight, I think this series would have benefited from taking us into the modern times in the beginning, and then. With the second episode, maybe even third episode, you spend one episode, maybe one and a half of their flashback going to this island, finding their origins. Because believe me, when it comes to like what the reveal is, it's like we didn't need this much buildup for this.
Kind of like what Watchmen did in 2019, like that. They had that flashback episode, which was great and explained all that. It's like, oh, cool. Now you have more context for it. So they should have done
it. Because I thought maybe they would do it that way. And it was just like nope. Oh, we're into a new episode and we still got, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just not very tight. And I'm not saying that Netflix should have not done 8 episodes. 8 episodes feels fine. But just the way things were jumbled about and mixed about, I think, man, you know, you're really stretching some things out. And that time you're spending trying to go to this damn island, that could have been fleshing out this relationship with the kids. That could have been fleshing out their story more so that maybe we don't feel sympathy for them, but maybe we have some understanding because there's nothing deep with them. But, you know, hey, look, I'm not writing the show, so what do I know? And some people had no problem with it.
Another interesting thing is how they put so much emphasis on the do we kill or do we not? We got to stick to the code.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas the Utopian was in a comic, he's a hard ass in a different way where he's like, we stay out of it. We let the politicians run everything.
Yeah.
We're just public servants. And it's more like the politicians are messing everything up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And plus, hey, if we got more involved, we could have shut down World War II. No, we don't do that. We stay out of everything. Everybody's like, man, you're holding us back. And it's a different argument. I mean, maybe it's even a lateral one, but it's something different than the we don't kill, we kill or we don't kill. It's a fine message, but it's very simple. I like this better than you guys. It just not even like in how it relates to the comics, because I thought that I wouldn't like it or it'd be cheesy. And I was just like, all right, I don't have that every Friday. When's the next episode coming on?
Yeah.
But binging it, I was like, all right, I want to see what happens next. But at the same time, something that Corey keeps pointing out is that Invincible was 8 episodes, and they did so much in those 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. And the problem with this is too stretched out. It's a weird thing because we complain about Netflix having 13-episode seasons, and it's like, man, y'all stretch this out too much. It's padding. And they're like, all right, we'll reduce it down to 8. All right. And they still had the same problem.
Yeah. Again, I don't think 8 episodes is bad.
It's not bad. I think they put it's what they did with it.
Yeah. Well, I think they put too much emphasis on certain plots mm-hmm. that didn't need it. And then certain subplots or plot lines or threads, they just didn't get enough attention. You know, it's a good point you brought up about this whole thing with the code of the union. I thought that could have been built up more, because I thought that that could have shown more conflict between the older and the younger generation and how they feel about this code.
Oh, they don't even go into that? Wow.
Well, they
do, not just enough. Not enough. But I mean, it seems like it's weighted on the side of like, man, fuck the code. But within it, you can see how they'll turn it around and be like, yeah, that code is actually kind of important. Mm.
Okay. Yeah, no. Well, that's what they say. I didn't see that. See.
No. I can see how they could do it. I'm not saying it's necessarily there, but yeah. There are times where I was like, all right, you know what? This is one of those arguments where if people could actually sit down and talk, maybe they could work it out, but it's everybody yelling at each other, so nothing's getting solved.
Yeah. No, so here's to that point. What I was thinking was there are good points made for both, but they're not pushed enough for me. The code, the way the show puts it, I think the effort is to try to make some sort of argument for both sides, but really that code is stupid. That don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. That code, it's naive to think that some of the most dangerous villains out there cannot be killed. You know, it's called self-defense after a certain point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made the union. It just made, especially the Utopian, just made them look stupid, man. You got a guy out there about to blow up half of the state, and you still talking about, no, don't kill him. I'm like, no, that don't make no sense at all.
Oh, especially after you just killed three other superheroes.
Yeah, you just saw them murder three other people, and you just kind of like, but he's human too, or he's a person too. Once you get to a certain point, you are not a person. You are a weapon. And you have to be diffused.
Plus, if you're Superman, it's easy for you to say like, "Hey, everybody, take it easy. Don't go all the way." And like, well, dude, I just throw batarangs. I gotta give it my all.
Well, they do even kind of comment on it, because the guy's like, "I'm flaming fist. This is all I got." And we see what happens to him.
Just like anybody, once you go off and you commit certain crimes, you lost your right to live. Nuclear. That motherfucker's a bomb at this point. He's not a living being. He's about to blow everybody. What does that help anything?
No.
And I just thought, and see that they never made any the show. I don't think the writing was good enough to where they made an argument for that, other than
right. You
just old and you don't know, you got this code and you just sticking to it. There was never an argument made on the Utopian side for me to think like, oh yeah, maybe you're right. I was like, no, you're an idiot. That's what you are.
But would have been great if the son said, like, he argued his side, the reason why I did it. That would have been good to see. And then it would have been more conflict, like an actual cool conflict with the dad, other than
you weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he does. I mean, well, it gets argued. Like, what do you want him to do? Let you die? And he's like, well, you still don't kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're not very good arguments.
Okay,
in a movie.
You don't kill. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There were not any good arguments being made here. Really, on either one of them. Because dad was just kind of like, you don't kill, son. And son's like, well, boy, what'd I say?
Yes, sir.
Daddy made me mad again. And you know what? I do think, contrary to what a lot of people believe, I do think the fight scenes are fun, because some of them are taken right out of a comic book panel. I think they're meant to look that way. Now, maybe they're so comic bookish that they, given the more adult material here, they might look out of place. But I like them. It was one of the few times that they were having some real fun with this. The fight scenes look kind of cool, and they had some humor with it too. You know, and some of the powers were really cool. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But some of the fight scenes were just fun.
I thought it might be nice to go somewhere quiet while my brother and the rest of the team kick the living shit out of me. Would you like some cake while we're waiting? Oh, not in here, my friend. In here, you are
brilliant. That fool really wanted some cake. Bitch, don't you ever bring dessert to a fight. you didn't know the power of that cake, did you? I bet you won't do that shit. Yeah, but I thought some scenes like that were kind of fun, man. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to go against something where everybody's having fun with this, or some people actually liking this, because this looks like, after reading the chat over here, it looks like some people are kind of split. Looks like some people really are enjoying it, and some people are, it wasn't my thing. Yeah,
if you like it, you like it. If you dislike it, you dislike it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, there were cool things in there, man. There's one, because I might not like, when I say the kids, I'm talking mostly about the Utopians kids. There were some other younger characters in there that I liked. I liked the character of Hutch.
Yeah.
Hutch just has a cool
thing. Scott Fox's son.
Yeah, he's got no powers, but he's got a cool dildo, a rod or something. Yeah.
Teleporting rod.
Yeah, the cosmic rod.
Yeah, cosmic rod, man. That fool just says something. And I like the way it goes, because he just says something, and it just, whatever he thinks of, it takes him there. Bitch ass.
I like that Australian dude.
Yeah, I do too.
Jack.
Hey.
Dropped all that crystal meth.
Start snorting. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You just got through seeing Walter White, all that blue shit down there.
I know you.
I know.
Oh yeah, that's some good shit. Yeah. I like the way my man said it. He wanted to get away from that bitch so bad. He's like, Idaho. He said the first thing that's on his mind. Shit, I don't know. Fuck Idaho. Shit, get the fuck out of here.
Take me to a state that nobody wants to be in.
Shit, Idaho. Waco, Texas. Fuck up the moon. No, wait. Nah, man. I thought that was kind
of
cool.
Some of the best sci-fi fantasy scenes involve him and that little magic stick.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a fan of the choreography, like you guys were, but what they did with that, like, okay, you have a limited budget. Do something that's surprising. And they do some stuff that I didn't even expect. They added an element with him with that whole little magic rod of his. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. It was both effective for expanding his character, but also just some really cool little sci-fi scenes. I thought they were nice.
To my, again, like, I just don't want to. I'm thinking I'm asking a lot out of these characters, because this is another guy. He has issues with everybody, but that character was fleshed out.
Yeah,
that character was well written, and I felt like I had more to see with that character. That character, he was funny. There was something going on with him.
Well, he's got his own daddy issues, but they aren't weighing down his character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. There was a lot more going on to him. He was not one note, and the people that he hangs with, and he's not a good guy. None of the people he hangs out with. Yeah, he's a criminal, but you know what? But I enjoyed him, because I'm not asking that. I don't care if you're whiny. I don't care if you're a brat. I don't care if you're a bitch. I don't care if you're, if you're a criminal. You got to have some layers to you. You got to have some texture to you, and there's nothing that was going on with those other characters. This character that was, every time he was on the screen, I don't know that actor's name, but he's very good. Mm-hmm. What's that actor's name? Because I'm sitting up here talking about him. I should not be disrespectful. I should give this guy some credit here.
Outside of Josh Duhamel and Leslie Bibb, did you recognize anybody?
No.
No. Yeah. No, I did not.
Yeah, me either.
No, that's a good one right there. Somebody says, so is he a villain? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Somebody give me his name. It'll pop up in the chat in a little bit. But I like him a lot. And I did look him up earlier, and I don't think he's in a whole lot of things. So maybe this is something.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, are these all Canadian actors? Because none of them are familiar.
Of course, The Weeknd. Yeah, how did I know? I missed that. Yeah. Somebody just said Black Zac Efron. Black Efron. let me see here. Yeah, Pete, but I really did enjoy this with him in there, as far as that character goes. Ian Quinan is his name, right? At least that's what I read right there. Anyway, enjoyed that actor very much. So I would I'm gonna leave it up to these guys to close it out, man. You guys go ahead and wrap it up or do whatever you want to say, you know.
Yeah. I'll say, you know, people have always asked me and I think us, you know, what's going to be the thing that will finally sink the superhero genre? And what I've always said time and time again, it's not going to be like one thing. It's going to be many things. It's going to be uninspired and just consistently bad superhero properties coming out one after the other. Like, that's what's going to finally do it. Mm-hmm. I think we're living in a time where we're seeing all sorts of superhero things, whether they be whimsical, whether it be deconstructionist, you know, whether it's not just Marvel and DC, it's like Image and all these other smaller companies, like they're all getting they're doing it, which is awesome. But it's stuff like this that's coming out where it just feels kind of all uninspired. It's like we're already seeing versions of this thing that I think are just doing everything better than this show is doing. I'm not saying this is the worst thing ever. This is the worst superhero adaptation. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of there. Just kind of exists, and it just of the three episodes I watched, I did not watch all of this. At the same time, I don't feel the desire to go back and check this out again when I know that there's just other stuff that I've watched this year, which I know are getting other seasons or sequels or whatever that have hit that quality or is doing something new when it comes to superhero adaptations or incorporating different genres. This just feels kind of so blasé. Josh Duhamel, I think, yeah, of all the actors, I'm not even a big Josh Duhamel fan. I think they actually gave him a lot to do, and I liked what he was doing in it. The gentleman you brought up before who plays the character of the little teleporty stick, I thought he was fun. Like, you know, that was, I think, some of the humor that was working in the show is with him. But overall, I mean, everything the show feels like it's aping, whether it be The Boys, whether it be Invincible, whether it be Watchmen, I just don't think it manages to match those things. It's, to me, it's just a slightly better CW show, and I'm kind of done with those. So yeah, I don't know if I can give this a rating right now, but I don't particularly care for it.
What would you rate the first three episodes you saw?
I give it like a high rental.
High rental, okay.
Right, okay. Well, it is one where it's not, I don't think it's as good as what we've seen lately, but we've seen some phenomenal stuff lately, and I expect there would be that drop-off at some point. I don't think it's that deep of a drop-off. I think it's slightly, I mean, it's certainly better than CW shows, and if you think it's only slightly, it's because you haven't seen CW shows in a while.
fair enough.
But it's below, say, the Umbrella Academy. Mm. Now, it doesn't make me tired of watching superhero properties. I thought it would, because just from early on, I was like, all right, this is just going to be that thing. But I did find myself kind of curious, you know, not wrapped up in that I can't wait to see what happens, but I'm in it enough to want to go, all right, let's see where you go from here. Mistakes were made, especially with the pacing, and it's the kind of thing where with the second season, they could totally tighten it up. They could change direction. I know, just what I know about the story, there's a lot more intense things that are coming up. So it's all going to be about how they handle that. But for what it was, an adaptation of the comic where they did do what you have to do with an adaptation is make it for the medium that it's for. They humanized a lot of things that weren't there before. And yet, it's still, rereading the comic, I wasn't going like, man, they should have done this. I was like, you know what? These are the same and yet work in their own separate spaces. So yeah, for me, this was kind of a matinee.
Yeah. Just to add some things in there real quick. So this ends with a cool twist. Well, it's cool depending on how invested you are in the show. Like, if you already weren't into it, the whole thing was mediocre to you, it ain't gonna mean shit, to be honest. So, you know, it's gonna depend on how you feel about those other seven episodes. But a twist was enough to make me wonder, all right, what's gonna happen the next season? But I'm not looking forward to the season with any kind of excitement. I'm not looking forward to it with any kind of urgency at all. I think I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is not solving anyone's superhero fatigue. This for some people, this will only add to it. Mm. This is something where people will say, and some people who've already been watching superheroes, they might feel that way too, where it's like, hey, you know what? We've seen this go down familiar ground. For those who have been keeping up with superhero stuff, you've seen this go down very familiar territory, very familiar ground right here. And we've been down better paths. So I don't, you know, this is a hard sell to people who love superheroes, and this is a very hard sell to people who don't want to see superheroes. It's not going to turn you around. You know, it's not going to be the one that may go like, wow, all right, I was wrong all along. It's not going to be the one that you tell super people who love these kind of comic book stories, hey, man, you got to watch this. It's just, it's in a very, 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 very middle ground. Some interesting things happen, but man, the way I was telling you, though, you know, the way they keep spending so much time on some of these stories or subplots that add nothing, those interesting moments are spread very far apart, and it's a way that just makes the narrative structure just not feel like it's put together very tight. It doesn't help that it's held back by more annoying characters than interesting characters. Now, I'm speaking for myself here, of course, you know. And I have not read the comic like you did. So maybe if I read the comic, it'll fill in some places for me. Maybe if I see season two, this is something that will actually make me feel like, all right, you know what? It's picking up, as some shows tend to do. But as a season on its own right now, the premiere season, it's just a rental for me. With Disney about to come out with a whole bunch of other stuff at this moment, my schedule is full. You know, sure. Loki's right around the corner. Black Widow's about to come out. And then there's some other properties. We're going to get another Boys. We're going to get Invincibles at some point. So, I mean, these are things that I'm looking forward to. This is just like, at best, if you really are jonesing for a Cape Crusader or a superhero adventure, this might be something to fill the gap. This might be a nice appetizer until the next superhero thing comes along.
Until you get the thing that you really
want. That you really want.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because timing-wise, had it come out before all this other stuff, it would be praised higher. It'd be looked upon higher.
Probably.
At the same time, it's in between Disney shows. So now is the time to come out. Because if there were Disney shows on right now, yeah. You'd watch the first episode and go like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, people. You know, you got to the party too late, and that party was full of beautiful people. You ain't ugly, but you know, ain't nobody looking at your ass right now. Ain't nobody trying to get your number. Ain't nobody trying to hook up with you at this point. You know, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe this will be something. Like I said, you know, who knows. It's always has the benefit of listening to the criticisms and picking up in season two. Maybe there's some better storylines. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. Close to being ready.
And I'm doing everything I can to keep this family from falling apart.
Well, it's not working.